let's head out to the McLaren Health Plan phone line and talk with House Democratic Leader Richard Hamel. Representative, how are you?
I'm fine, Tony. Thanks for asking me on.
Where are you at, this morning?
I'm actually north at my parents' place in and around the Tawas area. Oh. My mother's had some issues, so we're up north.
Oh, I know it very well. I have in-laws at Oscoda, and we spend a lot of time up there in the summertime.
It's a nice area, not as crazy as the west side of the state up north, so it's still pretty nice.
Yeah, have you played Red Hawk?
Yes, I have, and it's a great place. And that I think it's the third or fourth hole, that par three, that's got such a big elevation drop.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
Yeah, my kids really enjoyed that. Well, let's talk about Representative Roy Schmidt. He shocked the world, if you will, with his decision, abrupt decision from the opinion of many, to switch parties from the Democratic side to the Republican one. To get your take on that.
Well, I mean, obviously I was extremely disappointed. I've known Roy for the 4 years almost that we've spent together in the House. I had a lot of respect for him, and still do. I mean, it's a personal decision. We've all been frustrated at times with directions of our parties and votes that we've had to take. But I think for me, it's the manner in which it was done, which has really been a struggle for me. And you know, we all make tough decisions, and we're judged, I think, by our character based on how we handle those decisions. And the fact that he waited to the last minute, had said that he didn't make his decision until Monday, but yet signed an affidavit on the 2nd of May, didn't let us know. We had people working for him. He had raised money from many of us and our friends to help his cause, and then turn around and find someone else to stick in the race. It's too many bad things were associated with that decision, and that's what troubles me the most.
What was your reaction when you first heard not only about the switch, but about all those efforts that you just mentioned?
Well, the switch was, I thought it was a joke when someone called me and said it was in the news, and I was heading home, and so I ended up calling him, and he confirmed it with me on the phone, but said he didn't want to talk about it, and so the conversation ended there. But then as everything started to unfold, it was pretty pretty bad when you see how that happened and the timeliness of how it went and where it was done. It was just, there's so many things that I know we've all been reading about them in the paper, and every day I look at it myself and I see something new, because we're moving forward, because, you know, us working towards this next election cycle really isn't about Roy one way or the other. We're going to work awful hard to get that seat back. We're going to work hard anyway, but we're going to work even harder now. So,
what's this say for the Democratic Party that someone would do this?
Well, I don't think that it says anything bad at all. I mean, Roy, if you look back over the last year plus, has been doing press conferences, town halls, and has been going after Republicans for decisions that they've made, from raising taxes on seniors to cutting education, all kinds of stuff. I mean, even just as recently as a couple of weeks ago, he sent a letter to the governor ripping his butt about the personal property tax and demanding that there be a full restoration if they move forward with a personal property tax exemption for businesses, and then says in front of the press that one of the reasons why he switched parties was because Democrats wouldn't sit down and talk about personal property tax. Well, nothing can be farther from the truth. I have told the governor personally that I think that's the one tax that we should have looked at from the beginning, and I wish we would have been involved in that a long time ago so we could come up with a solution.
The Senate okayed a bill ending pensions for new teachers. What'd you think about that?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of folks have gone through this whole deal with the pension thing, from defined contribution, defined benefit. And what gets lost in that argument is that stranded cost that ends up that the state or a business or whatever ends up bearing when you close a defined benefit plan and go to a defined contribution plan. Generally, your costs go up because you don't have any new people going into that plan. And from what I have seen, and I haven't gotten into it real deep yet, but it could be an additional $1 billion cost to the school aid fund, which means schools are all around the state are going to have to pick up that cost somehow. I don't know how they're going to do that. So and on one hand, it looks like you're going to save some money, but you're not for a period of time until you're able to come to that equal point, which is generally 10 to 12 years down the road.
When we talk about the PPT, it looks like some communities, many communities, are going to lose funding. What's your take on that?
Well, that is a struggle with me because they've already lost so much. And I mean, I don't know what the estimates are, but I've seen individual estimates from particular areas around my community. And when you have townships and cities and stuff that that are already struggling, some are very close to being in a takeover position, to lose $80,000 to a couple $100,000 in revenue is going to put them really into a position where the state will be calling for a manager for them, and just based on the revenue that they had expected to get, you know, with property tax revenues down, it puts even more of a struggle on their operating costs.
You know, I wonder about that. It seems like the Republicans complain that businesses need this and they need that so that they can flourish and hire more people. And then I hear the Democrats say, well, we're giving up too much. And I wonder, okay, if we're giving up too much here, what's the happy median where businesses can flourish, but yet we can have enough money for our budget and perhaps give more to education?
That's true. I think, believe it or not, Democrats want to relieve pressure on businesses, too. And, back in 07, the Democrats put together a plan that would have reduced the burden on personal property tax when I was in the House in my first year. And it was kicked away by the Republicans, and we lost some of that ability to do that. But you do need to find a happy medium, and you need to hope that businesses will invest in jobs afterwards. Right now, because of the economy, they're not hiring. They are hiring some, and it's the automotive industry is really driving a resurgence here in the state. But they're not hiring as many, and they're asking their employees to do more. So we need to get to a point where they let loose of that grip and hire more folks. And because they're getting the relief that they need with the business tax that have already been granted here in the state of Michigan, so PPT would just push, I think, local communities and other governments over the edge. Without some replacement of that revenue.
Representative Hamill, there are more than 70,000 jobs, high-tech, high-paying in manufacturing and computers, but there are not enough trained people to take those jobs. There are not enough educated people to take those jobs. There are not enough people interested in seeking out those jobs. And for the people who do want to be retrained, they don't know how to do that, or they don't have the funding for that. I haven't found one person give me an answer on how we can solve those challenges. Can you help me?
It's a great question. That's been going on for quite some time. Those are jobs that are there, and they're great paying jobs. And I think that the governor is going in a better direction, I think, than what we did last term by trying to connect the MEDC and the job providers directly with the folks who need to be retrained. And I don't know that anybody has ever come up with that solution. And you just have to somehow try to inspire folks to look for the jobs that are available. And some of these are pretty tough. Some are some high-tech manufacturing jobs, too, that people should be jumping up to get because they do pay so much. So I don't think there's any real easy solution to it, but you have to certainly connect with the folks who are out of work and try to make sure that they're trained properly before they get into a position where they've been out for so long, because some of them take some really high-tech training. So some people aren't quite qualified yet to meet that kind of thing, but you got to do some base training first to get them to be at least ready.
All right, final question for you. It's out of your district, but I know it's of concern. What's going on in Detroit? We know that they're in financial peril, but now there seems to be a real issue with crime. Even some of the greatest known Detroiters are being carjacked and involved in crimes. What can be done to help that community?
Well, it's certainly been a struggle, and I know the Detroiters in our caucus have been letting people know about all this for quite some time, and I think most of us don't pay attention because we're not there as much as they are. And the big thing is that they need to have more cops available. You have to have more of a presence around. It happened in New York years ago when they were able to at least put people around so people felt safer than what they are now. And hopefully they'll come up with a solution that gives them the revenue they need to keep cops, as opposed to laying them off. And police and fire are important for people's state of mind, solid state of mind, but we need to have enough money and revenue there. And some of the things that have been done, been a challenge for that. And hopefully we can get through that, and they can work together on that and listen to what the people of Detroit are having to say about what they need.
Well, we've been talking with House Democratic Leader Richard Hamel on the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS. Representative, have a great weekend. Thanks so much for your time.
You too. Thank you, Tony.